This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, are you ready for an inspiring story that will leave you with goosebumps? Hey, Carm here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts, and I'm with Eric Dallas at Vision 2022. Eric is one of the Technician of Tomorrow scholarship winners who shares his story about taking a pay cut from a dealership to work for Changing Gears. Changing Gears' mission is to empower people who are working their way out of poverty by providing affordable transportation. Listen and be inspired and realize the good that scholarship programs are doing to invest in our future. Hey, thanks to our sponsor, NAPA, for providing you this episode. You know, accomplish more by starting now. That's the motto of Repair Shop of Tomorrow, a NAPA Auto Care exclusively endorsed vendor. RSOT will look at productivity, efficiencies, effective labor rate, average hours per car, labor profit percent, measure and manage labor for you, and how you can create net profit. Interested in Repair Shop of Tomorrow? Call them 440-545-1230 for a free 20-minute no-obligation consultation or contact your servicing NAPA auto parts store. Hey, we're here at Vision 2022, and we're having so much fun. It's been a couple of years, and the whole world is back face-to-face, and I've never seen so much fun and excitement. In fact, I just was hanging out with Gary Smith, Scott Shotton, and Eric Ziegler, and last night at the hotel bar, of course, you know that the Sheraton bar is like the 12th man on the field. You know, that's where everybody's there, and there's so much networking going on. And Eric Ziegler came up to me, and he says, Carm, you have to interview Eric Dallas. And I said, I heard, and I can't wait, and how could we pull that thing off? Well, Eric, they did. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Eric Dallas, and he is from Changing Gears in Cincinnati. And we're going to find out all about that. But Eric applied and won and got a great scholarship. Now, what did it all include, Eric?
All of the classes for 4 days from today.
You can't take them all, could you?
No.
But okay, cool. You got a lot of training coming at you.
Yep. Between now, Thursday, and Sunday. So okay. I signed up for everything I could, and it covers some meals, and it also covered my hotel stay completely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huge, big, important. And it was Eric who saw you in a class in Cincinnati and heard your interesting story and said, I think you should apply.
Yeah. He was providing some training in Cincinnati for lab scopes, and I inquired about some additional training, and he told me about Vision Casey, and he said it changed his life years ago and that this is the place to go. He said if you want to elevate your skill set, this is the place to do it, not only with the training but the networking, the relationships, the fellowship. And I immediately got on my phone while in the classroom just so I knew, so I had it in my phone.
Yeah.
And looked it up, and I saw the pricing structure. I'm like, oh, I can't afford that. And that's when he told me about there was two scholarships, two fellow technicians that had passed, but
yeah,
there was a scholarship set up.
Yeah.
So I looked into that that Sunday night, only to find out that the deadline was the previous day. So it took the wind out of my sails, but that Sunday night, I still, I just said, I'll apply anyway. And I asked, I said, hey Eric, if it's okay with you, I'd like to use you as a reference for my application. He said, sure. So I applied, finished the application, didn't hear anything, and I started to kind of wane a little bit. And like, oh man, I haven't heard anything. So I checked in the chat and didn't get any response. But then Eric and Scott, so we're checking in to see what the status of the application was. I'm like, I don't know. And they were just extremely helpful, going to bat for me, just anything they could to reassure me that, hey, just hang in there. We'll know something soon. A funny story, I get the email that I got the scholarship.
How many days passed?
Oh, this was, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks or
so. Oh, so you pretty much thought it was over.
Yeah, okay. I didn't hear anything. And I'm like, oh, man, the classes are filling up. Sure. I got to make a move. I got to figure out what I'm going to do here. And I finally got to the point where I was like, well, I'll just make sure I save up my pennies until next year and just go from there.
Sure.
And that was pretty much the mindset until I got the email. When I got the email, I was at the eye doctor and I wanted to cry because I didn't expect it. It was awesome. I immediately text Scott and Eric Ziegler. And Scott, he called me while I was actually with the eye doctor. And he came in. He was dilating my eyes. And I was on the phone with Scott as this was happening.
I hear you, but I can't see you.
It was awesome. And the doctor was super cool. He's like, hey, because I told him what was going on. He's like, hey, do what you got to do. It was good. So I was like, all right, Scott, I got to get off the phone. It's time to get down to business. So, but yeah,
that's a great, great story. I love that story. All the anticipation and then you got it while you're in the, you won't forget that doctor's appointment.
Oh,
will you?
Never. Yeah.
Neither will that doctor, I don't think. This guy's laying on the table. He has his phone in his hand chatting away.
Yeah. That's and he's right. about ready to cry. I didn't know I could do that. Wait, your eyes. Wait a minute. We can't wet your eyes.
That's all right.
Hey, Carm here. How is Changing Gears different than other vehicle donated programs? Well, keep listening and find out. It's Carm here, talking to you about what the NAPA Auto Care Center program can do for your business. You probably already know the NAPA brand is the most recognized and trusted name in the automotive aftermarket industry. In fact, studies show that nearly 95% of consumers recognize NAPA and associate it with quality parts, service, and technical expertise. So why not complete a Pro Image upgrade and take advantage of that? ProImage is a co-branding program for the exterior and interior of your shop. On the outside, it includes the NAPA colors and distinctive NAPA signage. While the public may know you as a reliable, locally owned business, a ProImage upgrade helps set your shop apart from the competition even further. It's also a visual signal to customers and potential customers that you and NAPA are partners. Most importantly, Pro Image really works. This co-branding opportunity has helped NAPA Auto Care Centers across the country increase their car counts and sales. In fact, those that have completed a Pro Image project enjoy an average 23% sales increase during the first year. Pro Image upgrades are also available for the interior of your shop. A Pro Image interior upgrade transforms your customer waiting area from merely utilitarian to warm and welcoming. The goal is to maintain your shop's independent identity while enhancing the customer's experience. You can get a free look at what a Pro Image exterior or interior upgrade could look like by visiting the NAPA Auto Care members site and clicking on the Pro Image link under the NAPA Pro Image tab. Or contact your local NAPA auto parts store. Your servicing NAPA store can tell you more about Pro Image, plus the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. What I love that Eric does is he works for a nonprofit, and I'm sure the nonprofit doesn't have any money for training, but it is exactly what we're doing here in Vision Training that you need in order to advance your career and help Changing Gears. But before we get into Changing Gears and what they do, is your lineage, if you will, is being a dealership tech. Tell us about that.
I graduated from UNOH in 2009, and that's when everything tanked. I had graduated, and everything went downhill.
Yeah.
Dealerships, were shutting down, and I'm like, oh, no, I made a horrible choice here. What's going on? I had multiple jobs, but I finally ended up at the dealership, and I thought that was awesome. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm at the dealership. This is going to be great. I got in the dealership, and it was much harder than I thought it would be. The older techs didn't really pay you any attention. I guess
you didn't have a mentor.
No,
because everyone's on a flat rate, working for their money.
Correct. And so you kind of got shunned. Like the new people kind of got shunned. I think it's because they weren't expected to stay around very long.
It just drives me nuts when I hear that.
Yeah, it was rough, but when I got started, I did what no one wanted to do, which was the recalls for the Ford Windstar. vehicles, so the axles and the subframes. So I started doing that, cranking those out, and I got really good at it to the point where when things kind of slowed down around wintertime, I was still able to make some good hours.
Got it.
But then as the older techs saw that I was in it for the long haul and I was cranking these out, they were like, well, how, you know, what are you, what's your process? And they watched, and I was able to show them some things myself and then learn from them. So they opened up, and that was great. And one in particular, his name was Paul. He was awesome. He kind of took me under his wing.
So they let you in the group, huh?
Yeah, you know, it kind of like broke down the barrier there. So that was pretty cool. The work was solid, but there wasn't a fulfillment in that. There wasn't, I would say, a purpose, at least for me. Some guys are okay with it, but I wanted something more. And I happened to find a Craigslist ad asking for a technician. It was more entry level, though, than it was anything else. And that was fine. Based on what I found out about the about changing gears anyway, as it was starting up, because I got employed by them early on.
What do you mean early on? Early on from what?
At the beginning of changing gears.
Oh, okay. Early on in the as early as changing gears was starting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you saw the Craigslist ad. You really weren't planning. You were planning on leaving because you weren't fulfilled. You saw this ad. And then what happened? You applied.
Yeah, I applied and got an immediate response.
come on down.
Yeah, come on down. Hey, how soon can you come in for an interview? I got the information. I've got the address, and I did some digging. This is not in a favorable place, a good neighborhood. And it worried me because it was a Craigslist ad, and it wasn't the best place.
Those were a couple of warning signs.
Yeah, some red flags. Yeah. I was a little worried, but I still went anyway. I checked in with everybody ahead of time and said, look, this is where I'll be because I'm a little worried. Everyone understood. And so it only got worse when I saw the building and approached the building just because of how it looked, at least from the outside, because you couldn't see in. Mm-hmm. The glass block windows were pretty tall, and so you couldn't see what's going on. And so I ring the doorbell, and Joel comes to the door and lets me in. He's got this big smile, and I can look in and see the lifts and stuff. I'm like, okay, this is legit. Because the running joke that I told them finally was, I thought this was, you know, the end. I thought you guys were going to, like, kidnap me and harvest my organs or something.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know?
So, yeah. Oh my God.
But we now know
he thought this through, didn't he?
Yeah, too many movies.
It's like a woman going on a first blind date. You have to let everybody know where you are in case, you know, you get put in a trunk or something.
That's right. This is a picture of the guy, you know. So it went exceedingly well. I mean, I sat down with him. I saw the operation. He broke down what the mission was and what the expectations for the job was. As soon as he told me about the mission, I said, I need to be a part of this. This is something that I am called to be a part of.
Wow.
Like, I had no doubt. It was definitely different from going from, I guess, a dealer to where we were. So it was difference in pay for sure.
Yeah, that's what Eric came up. Eric and Scott last night said to me, he says, and he took a big pay cut to do this. And it's rare. But as you said, you had a calling. You felt you had to do this. Huh?
Yeah. The benefits that I would have working at Changing Gears compared to the dealership, Changing Gears offered some freedom. And what I mean by that is it was allowing me to be flexible with my family so that I can participate with things with my family that I wouldn't be able to do.
Work around your schedule?
Yep. It was more flexible.
But you were the guy too, right?
Huh?
You're the guy. I mean, you're the lead tech, right?
Well, yeah. When I first started, there was another technician. He was, I think he said 40 years master tech.
Okay.
And so he, with him there, I thought it would be awesome to study under this master tech. But within my first year, he ended up leaving. So I was pretty stressed. Like, oh man, all this is. This is on me now. But it was just a three-person crew. It was myself, Joel, and Katie. We made it happen.
Do you have any ASEs?
Yeah, I am master certified.
You are. Excellent, so. Excellent. So I think the audience is sitting there saying, cool story. What does changing gears do that they need a technician like Eric? So go ahead and tell us your mission.
Well, changing gears, our mission is to provide transportation or provide vehicles to people working their way out of poverty. Remove that transportation barrier.
Yeah.
Doing so allows access to a whole lot of things. It provides a freedom. That's what our clients talk about a lot, is this freedom. They can get off the bus line because the bus can only go within its programmed route. Whereas you can drive wherever you need to go. And one of our clients said that, you know, when I forget something at the grocery store, I can't ask the bus driver to turn around. I've got to deal with not having it, or I've got to go back the next day or something like that. Yeah. And so they're limited on what they can do, whereas this car allows you to get to appointments without having to leave. I mean, we've had clients that have to leave, you know, hours before they even have to go to work just to plan out the time for transportation, public transportation.
Right, right.
It's awesome where they can get better jobs, and when they get better jobs, they can get into housing. And we even volunteered as a crew, as our team from work, on some of our clients' Habitat for Humanity houses, where we helped build the staircase on our own time. It was just awesome. They got a vehicle from us. We helped build their Habitat house. And then she went on to get a better job. She works for the county now. She got a better vehicle and was able to bless somebody else with the vehicle that she got from us.
Imagine the importance of transportation. It is huge. And I don't know if you know this, but there's an awful lot of young people that don't want to get their licenses. You say if you don't have a job, but you need transportation to get one. So I have a question. If someone applied to changing gears for this, they need to insure the vehicle. So they really need to have and show you a commitment that they have a job so they can at least pay for the continued maintenance and the fuel and the insurance on the vehicle.
Yeah. So we partner with a organization called CityLink. And so what they do is they provide a lot of the soft skills and stuff like that. So when they come in, they can receive a lot of services. But one of those is budgeting, how to set a budget and maintain a budget, where it allows them to put that money aside for savings so they can cover their car repairs and expenses or anything like that they may run into.
Okay.
They are set up for success because if we just gave them a vehicle and they're not equipped for a budget or anything like that, we're giving them more of a burden than the freedom.
Right.
And so being able to budget, pay for their insurance, and
fuel.
Prepare for
fuel and future maintenance.
Right. If they can prepare for all of that, then it won't catch them by surprise. Or, I mean, it may surprise them, but at least they're prepared for it. It's pretty cool that we're able to do that. And then when they get the vehicle from us, I usually will take them on a one-on-one to talk about the specifics of their vehicle. Here's your tire pressure. Here's how you find it. Here's how you check your oil.
Nice.
This is what the fluid looks like. Because I feel that the more information they have, the better they'll take care of the vehicle and the less they'll have to come into the shop.
The vehicle is like your child. You know, you put it into shape. You work. You realize this is going to someone who really will appreciate it and needs it.
Yeah.
And as you pass, if you will, the bundle of joy over to your client, you want to insure it, if you will, and because you may see it back again, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we've had clients where the vehicle was such a blessing to them and they were able to move on. They donated the vehicle back to us and we were able to use that vehicle for another client.
Wow.
And it is awesome. We celebrate when they get the keys to their car. We all rally around them to celebrate their accomplishment and how far they've come. And then when they get the title, we do the same exact thing because we want them to know we're in their corner and we understand that the road that they have traveled, although no road is the same, we're acknowledging their success. We want to acknowledge every victory, even the small ones.
Is there a wait list for cars?
We have cars ready to go. We are, ever since COVID, that kind of slowed things down with getting clients into the program. So we're hoping that as time goes on, people are able to jump into our program a little more so that we can serve our clients, because that's what we're here for at the end of the day.
So if someone, I mean, so you have cars backed up that you just don't have people for yet? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we have some cars that essentially they're finished, but we're waiting on clients to come through to.
You have not had a problem getting vehicles, have you?
Well, actually, it slowed down since there was like a tax change a few years ago. So donations were not coming in as much as they were in years prior. But with our new approach, we've been able to be more efficient with what we do get.
I see. So if anyone was in the Cincinnati area and wanted to donate a vehicle, changing gears is they look for?
Yep, they would look for changing gears. They can go to our website, changing-gears.org. We'll have the information on how to donate. And what we do is we try to make it as simple as possible. Where you say you want to donate, you fill out the form, we'll come to you, notarize the title, take the vehicle, any condition, any vehicle. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's sat for years or not. We'll take the vehicle. And then what sets us apart from other vehicle donation organizations, others will pick up the vehicle, take it straight to auction, and then you would just get whatever they sold it for at auction.
Yeah.
What we do differently is we do a material improvement, and that's in line with the IRS, so that the donor will get the maximum donation possible.
Nice.
And that's more of a thank you for, you know, choosing us. You had other options, and you donated to us. So it's just an added bonus for that.
I love this. Where's the funding coming from, though? I mean, to have you on the payroll and Joel and Katie?
Yeah.
Is this donations? Is it government granted?
So we actually, our team has grown since then. So we actually have Rob, and we have Katie, another Katie, so Katie number two, and then we also have Todd. So our team has grown. Also, and
wow.
Joel's wife, Marnie, she is also on staff now. So we've grown quite a bit, because we're in, year nine? So where the money comes from is the donation. So we're, I can't remember what percentage self-funded, but we take the vehicles that are not suitable for client cars, like a BMW or Mercedes or something like that,
sure,
that would be high on insurance,
right,
and maintenance. We will sell that at auction.
Okay.
And then the money goes to our overhead.
I got it.
But then we also have donors. We have monthly givers that donate to us and contribute, but fundraising as well. And we actually have a pretty cool fundraiser coming up in May called the Grand Prix, and that's something that we've been doing once a year for a few years now. If you ever get a chance to look up adult pedal carts, that's what they are. These are these massive pedal carts, and we build a track, and then we have teams go head-to-head,
sure,
around the track that we build, and we have obstacles that we put in there, whether it be a ramp, things that are hanging down, anything that we can think of that's fun to make the track fun. And then we also have food. It's catered, and then we have drinks, and then ice cream. So last year, we did a family version of that where the children were able to do that. And this year, we're going to be at Lunken Airport in a hangar. So it'll be the biggest that we've done yet.
Wow.
Food outside, drinks outside, and then the track is going to be built in the hangar.
It sounds like you're working for a great, great organization. A lot going on there, a lot of moving parts. That's great. And so let's go back to vision. You won the scholarship. You're here. You had all these classes. What did you attend today? Give us an idea of what you're doing.
I signed up for one of the classes, and one of those was a Subaru specific class.
Okay.
Going over the engines, and I thought that was awesome to pursue, because we're seeing those more and more on a regular basis,
sure,
getting donated, mm-hmm, and they're getting newer and newer. And Subaru is a pretty unique company in how they design their circuitry. So knowing how to navigate that is key. You definitely need to know theory of operation if you want to be successful in,
sure,
diagnosing.
Sure.
So I did that class, and that was from 8 to noon. And then my second class was variable displacement engines. And so that one, that's pretty complicated stuff, but we're seeing that. And that actually provided some very good insight, just networking with people that have seen some similar problems and how they solved it. And it's just an all-around awesome time, being able to network the way...
Well, you've got... I mean, the networking piece is going to be that... most incredible, intangible. You can't even put a cost on it.
No.
Did you bring business cards?
I brought, they're not business cards, but they're like flyers for changing gears that I wanted to hand out to people, so to spread the word about what we do, even if it's to someone, you know, clicking on our website. Yeah.
But there's no doubt people are going to want to stay in touch with you and be in your network and help you out. And then I guess my next question is, how do you get back here next year?
Well, I'm already working on that. I'm going to be saving up so that it is already paid for by the time Vision is announced next year, because I am definitely coming back.
This is great to interview you, Eric. Eric walked in with Eric and Scott, yes. And I said, oh my God, this is Eric Dallas. And all of a sudden I said to you, you know, because Tracy and I were ready to move on to our next event, and I just looked at my watch and I said, we got to do this. So thank you for gracing us in this impromptu way here that wasn't scheduled, but it was something that it was on my list to do here at Vision. And I wish you all the best. So nice to meet you. Man, you are grounded, man.
Hey, thank you guys. I'm just glad to be here. That's all I can say.
Cool. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.